bless you.
Thank you, there, sir.
I am thankful and very happy to be with you here again this day and appreciate very much the opportunity to come and be with you. There are two things that I would say about a church that are wonderful. Number one, that they make you feel at home, and this church has done so. Moreover, that you feel the presence of the Lord amongst the people, and I have felt that. I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this meeting and to worship the Lord with you. I know how to find the church now, so you don't have to invite me anymore. I will come whether you want me to or not. Just need to find that house with all the stuff on it and turn right, and I'll get here. And hopefully there will be a holiday approaching that I can see the house. If not, we will trust the Lord will guide us here anyway. Now, I have spent some things to you and about in the book of Acts. I'd like to stay in that book today and would like to go to chapter 8 today, somewhat before where we were yesterday. I'm going to read the first 4 verses real quick. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I mentioned to you yesterday at our church there in Fredericksburg that in the first 10 years, we tripled our church membership. And then at the end of the next 10 years, we had less than when we started. And that is discouraging. But can you imagine how the apostles must have felt? They had 3,000 baptized on the day of Pentecost. And then just a few days later, on Solomon's porch, over 4,000 came. And then it said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It could have been as much as 10,000 people member of that church, if you would say it that way. And then in a few days, all that's left are the apostles. Can you imagine that would be a little bit discouraging? And yet, these kept going. It said they went everywhere preaching the word of the Lord, preaching the word. I was thinking this morning, and I mentioned that I like to gripe, I do, and I like to complain, and I enjoy complaining. The only reason I get on Facebook is to complain, and it is. I enjoy it, and if people don't like it, that doesn't bother me either. I just go ahead and do it. I'm a sinner, and I don't mind telling you so. But, you know, you get to be in a negative frame of mind that you fail to see the positive things. And I was thinking about that this morning. That in those that we have lost in the past 10 years, one of whom is now pastoring Little Union Primitive Baptist Church, namely Elder Chris Krause. He came to us, and the brethren of Texas said, do something with him. We're just about ready to toss him out. And I don't know if we did any good, but we did exercise, and we felt of his call to the ministry, and we ordained him there at Fredericksburg. And I was blessed to deliver the charge to that brother. And I am very proud in a good way of the things that he's done. Now, please do not tell him that I said that, but I am. We had one of our deacons leave. He is now the only deacon at a small church in northern Tennessee. And they were just delighted and shouted for joy when they moved up there, and they are working him to death. We had another one of our sisters move. She married a minister who had lost his wife. And they are now in the southern part of Tennessee pastoring a church that had not had a pastor in over 15 years. And the Lord is blessing them. I hadn't thought about any of this until today. And there's more that there's a sister that is now going to the church at Houston and bringing people with her that otherwise would not be going, that she left and moved out that away. So there are things, you know, the scripture says to look not at the things that are seen, but to look at the things that are not seen. And we oftentimes think that not seen is heaven and paradise, and it is. But there are things on earth that we don't see and don't know, and yet the Lord is involved and blessed us to be involved as well. So all is never lost, is it, when the Lord is there? And the Lord is there. And what we ought to do, and again, this is me preaching to me, and what we ought to do is to be encouraged, or as David did, encourage himself in the Lord. And the word encourage means to draw strength from the heart. It's really what it means, in cardia, from the heart. When people say take heart, they're saying encourage. Now, you can't encourage yourself from yourself or from yourself alone, but David did it in the Lord. And you know, on the worst day of my life, and there is and there will be a worst day of your life, on the worst day of my life, that I railed against God, and the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, but within my mind, and he said, I'm here. And I wondered where he was, and I got the answer, I'm within you. Isn't that what Jesus said about the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's where the Lord is. And that's how you encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, these brethren, they went out. They were being persecuted by Saul. Do you think if somebody had came to them and said, you know, that man that's causing you so much havoc is going to be your greatest advocate in a few months? They wouldn't have believed that at all. But God had a purpose for Saul. And I'm not saying that God made this bad thing happen. But I do believe that God used this to further his end. And that is part of the providence of God. And what we ought to do, and this is to me, is that, well, if things are the way they are, then make the best of it. And what good can we do from this? What can they do? They went out preaching the gospel. They didn't give up, raise the white flag, turn in their credentials and just say it's over. They went out and they preached the word of the Lord, and the Lord blessed them. One man, a man by the name of Stephen, who was ordained a deacon there at Jerusalem, well, the Lord, I believe, called him, not Stephen, but Philip. Stephen was part of that group too, that the Lord had a desire for them to preach. And we read about Philip in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. Now, there is a place that Jews weren't supposed to go. They had no dealings with the Samaritans. And yet, the gospel is no respecter of persons. The truth is no respecter of persons. God's predestination is no respecter of persons. And he went to this city where they had no dealings. The Lord went there one time. Philip went there and he preached Christ. Wonder what happened. Listen to this. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out with many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. You know what the gospel does? It brings joy.
Amen.
Yesterday we read that it helps us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. The gospel helps us in our affliction and in our depression. And in that depression, it can change that to joy, to hope, and rekindle things. And we can see, you know, this world isn't our home after all. It really isn't. And I wouldn't want it to be. I'm not at home here. This is a home away from home. But we've got a better place waiting for us. And the gospel tells us that that place is secure and it's been given to you by the grace of God. You don't deserve it, but you got it anyway. Isn't that good to know? That ought to make you feel better. Ought to make you happy. Ought to just perk you right up. Is that a southern thing? Perk you up? Right, sure, it can be. Why not? I'm in the south. I'm from the south. So there it is. It ought to make you. I mean, why? Why do we get all depressed? Why do we get all complaining? Why do we get in the molly grubs? What's the matter? What is so bad? Do you know, as I like to tell people this, and I wrote this on Facebook the other day, you know, and so it's got to be true if it's on Facebook. What would you say would be the worst thing that could possibly happen to you? What would you say? I can think of some things, but do you know that the worst thing that can possibly happen to us is the same thing? It is, because I think going to hell would about be the worst thing to happen. I mean, are y'all itching to go there? You want to go to hell? No. I mean, I've never met anybody that actually said, I really can't wait to get to hell. But do you know that the worst thing that can happen to you will never happen to you?
Amen. That's right.
Because of Jesus Christ? Right. Now, what would you say would be the best thing that can happen to you? I'd say we go to heaven. Right? I think, yeah. I've been to some good meetings, but I haven't been to the best meeting yet. I've had some good days, but my best day hadn't happened yet. When I get to heaven. We sang a lot about heaven yesterday. What a day of rejoicing that will be. How beautiful heaven must be. Amen and amen. And did you know that the best thing that could happen to you is guaranteed to happen to you?
That's right.
Now, how do I know this? Because of the gospel, because of the Holy Ghost, because of my soul responding and crying, Abba, Father. Because of I've rejoiced with people over this very same thing and this common salvation. Now, there was joy in that city. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of Asheville, North Carolina was right here? Yeah, wouldn't it be? We'd have to put out a few extra chairs, wouldn't we? It'd be like those days that you hear where they had to open the windows and people sat outside. I've never seen that. I've heard tell of it. I've been to meetings, though, where there was aisle was filled around here. People sitting back here. People sitting in the kitchen. I was at a meeting one time. They put chairs in the baptistry for people to sit in. There was just no room. And the Spirit was so strong. That was joy. I've shouted one time in my life. It was a half-hearted howl, but I couldn't help it. I used to wonder, it sounds strange, doesn't it? Somebody shouting for joy. It sounds strange. I've done it. It was the most amazing service I've ever been in. I could go on forever. Joy. Joy unspeakable, right? You can't describe it. Full of glory. Just imagine the joy we're going to have when we get to glory. When we see Jesus face to face. All right, I have to keep going. I could dwell on there and I may come back to it, but I want to get a lesson to you. Just because things are going good doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen. They do. They do. And a bad thing happened here in Samaria, but they took care of it. So you've got a city now, a whole city that is believing in Christ and there's great joy. You've got Philip that was there preaching to them. And then the most unusual thing happens. And this is found in verse 26. Let's read verse 25. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Are you kidding me? Seriously, Lord? Really? We've got a lot of work here. We've got a whole city believing and rejoicing. And you're telling the preacher to leave that, to go where, to the desert? Well, how many is he going to find? How many is he going to find? One? You're telling me to leave a city to preach to one? Yeah, right. It's exactly what the Lord is saying. Well, that don't make no sense. It don't have to. It's the Lord. His ways are not our ways. So here's a little point that I tell myself. Numbers aren't that important. I want you to trade a whole city, brother preacher, for one. Because that's my will. And I know what I'm doing, and you don't know what I'm doing, and you don't know what you're doing. But I know. Go. Go. When God says go, you got to go. Go. Where? South. What south? Desert. What am I going to find there? I'll tell you when you get there. I don't like that. I like to have a script. I like to know what's happened. I don't like conferences at church. We have a conference before a conference. Because I want to know what we're going to deal with in conference. No surprises. People say, I've got a surprise present. Oh, no, you don't. You're going to tell me right now. Well, I'm not going to tell. Oh, yes, you are. I'm going to bug you till you do. Or people say, oh, I was about to tell you something, but I forgot what it is. Well, why did you tell me that? Now my day is ruined. Now the Lord doesn't care what I think. The Lord doesn't care that I've got these quirks. He does not care. He says, you go do this and I'll tell you what you need to know right now, but you're not going to know everything. Paul said in Damascus, what will you have me to do? Go to the city. Really? That's it. That's all he was told. Go to the city. Just get there. I'll tell you later. Go to the south. Go to the desert. Well, he did. Verse 27. He was obedient. He arose and went. And behold, here's the whip. A man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, or Isaiah the prophet. Now, that has got to be the most strangest thing ever seen in the desert. You just don't know. I remember the hair tale of a brother down in Texas that he left this nice, beautiful church building that he was pastoring, and he felt the desire, and he went under this oak tree about 2 miles and just started preaching, and before too long, he was baptizing people in a little creek, and the church constituted now that oak tree is still there to this day. And I go there every, I have an appointment there. Pilgrim's Rest, Primitive Baptist Church. And man, leave this beautiful building and go to this oak tree. And you don't know what you're going to find. Just go. And he started preaching. Church is there. That other church is gone. Now, the Lord is amazingly sovereign and sovereignly amazing. You didn't expect this, did you, Philip? There's a man of Ethiopia, an official, the chief treasurer of Ethiopia, very rich, rich country at the time. And he's not counting the gold, he's not doing his taxes, he's not working the ledger, he's reading the Bible. Sometimes things are obvious. And sometimes we just need, the Lord said, that's kind of obvious, do what I... So Philip is told, the angel said, go to that man. And Philip ran. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, that's wonderful when we can do that. I remember I was on a plane. I had been doing a lot of preaching that weekend, and it was a red-eye flight, and going home, and I was just wanted to be left alone, and a man sat by me, and I was upset because I wanted the whole row to myself, and I was just giving him the fisheye, and I was just like, why did you have to have this guy? Because it was, you know, the two-seat aisle. I wanted to have the whole thing. I was griping, and I just griped at him in my mind. And then he pulls out a Bible and starts reading it. And then I was ashamed. And I said, well, I'm just going to, and I used this expression. I said, understandest what thou readest? And he knew. He says, well, how can I accept some man guide me? We had a delightful biblical conversation all the way to San Antonio. So when you see somebody reading the Bible, it's a good idea to find out what they're reading and have fellowship with them and ask him, dude, what Philip, and the man said, I need somebody to help me understand what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And we all need that, don't we? Yep. And it's good. People will say, I want to ask you a Bible question, Brother David. Oh, amen. Let's go. Let's go. I'm ready. And I'll ask people. I have still fathers in the ministry or brothers, and I'll say, I'm stumped on this scripture. What do you think about that? Or have you been reading over there? And what are your thoughts on that? And that is the type of Bible study, I believe, that does the greatest good. And then, not against, well, I don't want to, stay away from that. Go away. Walk away. I believe, though, that what we Primitive Baptists call hard shelling is just the way to do it. And it's profitable. But the thing is, you've got to get out of your comfort zone and do it. Just ask the questions.
Right.
And the minister ought to be willing to answer. And if he doesn't know, to say, I don't know, and find out, study them together. And so, this eunuch was reading, what we would call the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It said in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? That's a good question. That's a very good question. We know the answer because we have heard how many sermons on Isaiah 53. And we know that's talking about Christ. I've heard Isaiah 53 called the gospel according to Isaiah. That's kind of cute, but it says what it means. It is about Christ. But this man had not heard of Christ. Maybe I've heard tell of Christ, but the Spirit led him to stop that chariot in the middle of the desert, take out this scroll. They didn't have this nice little Bible like we have. And not everybody could afford to have the scriptures. But he had this book of Isaiah. He had to unroll it and find where it was. There were no chapters and verses. And it took the Spirit to get him here to read this verse when Philip came at that time. God arranged all this to happen. That and when Philip came, and he was reading that, and he said, what is he? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And you know, I love what the scripture said. And Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. He started right there and preached Christ. He didn't go into, well, now, let's back up a little bit. Or before we get there, I need to go over here. Or I need to go get that scripture over there. He didn't go with a lot of opening remarks like I like to do. Or let me, well, now, you know, if you can't really understand that until you understand this. And so, and then 8 hours later, the eunuch is more confused than in when he started. He felt, get on to me to do this. May God bless us to understand that the Spirit of God does not need to be warmed up. It doesn't need to be primed. Right. It doesn't wait for certain things. It when it's there, and use it and go with it and don't quench it and right. Rejoice in it and stop worrying about what's going on out yonder. Or what's going on in here. Or what somebody else may be thinking. Or what somebody else did or said or didn't do. Didn't say or didn't, you know, do it just right or whatnot. Or rejoice because right now the Spirit is here.
Right.
And this is the best place in the world. It's right now. It's the joy of the whole earth. And you can't do any better than this. You try, you want to, you're going to fail. This is it.
Right.
Where are you going to go? What's better? What's better than what we have in the house of the Lord? And why would we not want to remain and be a part of it? All this was going on in this eunuch's mind. Because he, oh, how convenient, as they're passing by, there's a body of water. How did that get there? I thought they were in the desert. What's water doing in the desert? Well, it's an oasis. Oh, they just happened to go by an oasis when that brother wants to be baptized. I call this the providential pool. I hadn't toyed with the idea. God just, boom, there's that water. It wasn't there. Now it's there. Hey, look, here's water. Why? What, do you want to drink? No. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I believe. Think of a good reason. I'm ready to get baptized. All right. Now, what do we do? Primitive Baptist, about this. What do we do? What do we do? Here's what we ought to do. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, brother, you'd baptize him, wouldn't you? I'm ready. If you wouldn't, I will. In fact, I'll shove you out of the way to get to him. When I joined the Primitive Baptist Church, I didn't know anything about our history. I couldn't have told you about predestination, election, glorification, sanctification, all those things. I knew one thing. I loved my Lord Jesus Christ. And I believed that he loved me, and I believed he was the Savior of his people, and I prayed that I was one of them. I knew I was a bankrupt sinner, but I knew I had a rich Savior. That's all I knew. Now, if you believe that, and you haven't been baptized, well, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Because anything you're waiting on, either A, ain't going to happen, or it doesn't need to happen. It's not as important as that. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Now, when the scriptures get detailed, there's a point being made. Why did the scriptures have to tell us that they both went down into the water? So we will know that baptism is by total immersion. That's why. And it said they both went down in the water. There's a church in Houston, not Primitive Baptist, but it's pastored by a man whose books I admire. And I actually went and visited him and visited that man. And he believes our doctrine, pretty much our practice. And I saw the baptistry, and it was the strangest baptistry I've ever seen. And I'm not throwing off. I'm just telling you the story. It's a little square thing, just about 3 feet wide and 6 feet. I said, brother, how do you get in that thing and baptize somebody? He said, oh, no, that's a dry baptistry. I said, that's an oxymoron. Yeah. He said, no. And look, then there's a little deal where he can groove it and get in and baptize him. That way he doesn't get wet. Well, I didn't tell him that. And I said, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen with me. I want to get right there with him. Right. And every time I see baptizing the brothers right there in the pool, right there in the water, in the river. There's one thing I've never got to do, and I'd like to do it before I die. It's not that important. I've never got to baptize anybody in a river or a creek. We don't have that many in Texas. And the ones we do have water moccasins in them. This is a true story. Brother J.P. Dale was going to baptize somebody in the Guadalupe River. And he saw snakes. So here you go, Brother Deacons. He had one deacon on one end, one deacon on the other end with a stick to beat off any snake. He baptized 8 folks that day. Now, that takes a lot of faith. How would you like to be one of those? If candidates for baptism. How would you like to be Brother Dale? He's got to stay in there that whole time. If it's my turn, I get me first and I'm out of here. Lord, give me the ability to walk on water right now. Let's be good. But they, and you can hear, and he said, yeah, they're splashing, scaring the snakes away. Oh, I'm not saying we need to go back that to that. There's some things I'm glad. Air conditioning, amen. They were tough as nails back in those days. But I hope that such things would not move me for doing my reasonable service in rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, commanded chariot to stand still. They both went down the water and baptized them. Verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Amen. I would that this happened every time we meet, that we would leave the meeting rejoicing. And I also would that the Lord still had this transportation service that Philip enjoyed. Wouldn't that be wonderful if I just got carried away to San Antonio? And y'all be rejoicing. And I'd be, are they rejoicing because I'm gone? Are they rejoicing because I was there? At any rate, the Lord wanted Philip at a place real fast. Got him there because it said he was down at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, God is in control, and God blesses things even when we don't know that he is. And there are things that are going on that are part of God's providence that we need to have confidence in him. All we can do is make sure that when we come, that we come expecting a blessing, and that we would pray for the Lord that we would be able to leave rejoicing, and that we acknowledge that God is sovereign, and that the Lord will take care of everything, and everything is going to work out because he is in control. And we just need to keep praying. And if that prayer doesn't work, then you need to just pray again. And if that doesn't work, then keep praying until you get an answer. And encourage yourself in the Lord and take heart, because we serve a wonderful, sovereign, all-powerful God who is still in control and will be forever and ever, and we are blessed to be in his house. That's a great blessing. Now, why don't you all just get on down to Texas? Why not? Why not? Sounds like a great idea. You say it's hot down there. Well, we have air conditioning. We have good Mexican food. There are 3,847 Mexican restaurants in San Antonio. I have eaten at 1,068. I still got a ways to go. If you don't like spicy food, then I've got some wimp Mexican food that you can have. This is not part of the sermon, by the way. This is just me leaving and saying goodbye. Come see me sometime. Me and Sister Leslie love to have company. She's a wonderful host. She'll feed you. I'll entertain you. We have plenty of room in our house. Love to have Primitive Baptists. Love to have God's people. Love to have people over. Come see us. Thank you again. I will remember you always. And I thank my God upon every remembrance of Mountain Home Church. Until we meet again, may God bless you. If I don't see you here on earth, I'll see you in glory. And that'll be all right. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.